If it's an instrumental version, we think about the words because we've heard them so often. And they can inspire these memories in us. We, as a family, had this awesome opportunity last Christmas time. My brother was in from California, my sister, and was able to come and spend some time with us. And we went up to Cleveland to the Christmas Story House. Anybody ever been there before? Christmas Story House. Anybody ever seen this movie, A Christmas Story? Ralphie, you'll shoot your eye. Okay, you got it, right? The spirit of Christmas lives in that house. And it's just a great thing. As you're looking around and you're maybe not so much the Christmases of my childhood, but I certainly recognize the bits and pieces of Christmas memory and Christmas legend of my parents, their brothers and sisters, so my aunts and uncles and my grandparents. And it was just an amazing time. Just to walk through that house and be put back in that place of being being a kid or being a sibling. Sometimes there's special memories for me of being a sibling around Christmas time. One of my favorite memories, though, that I carry with me all of the time is the insistence of my mother of having the most appropriate nativity scene that she could find every year and to put it up. And the baby Jesus was never put there until Christmas Eve. And so what we had to do, the youngest who was there, which for many years was me and my household, the youngest of three kids, it was my responsibility to go find baby Jesus and to put him in his rightful place in the nativity set. And I would mess it up a lot when I was younger. And then I figured out how funny it is as I got older to just keep messing it up and put baby Jesus in places where he didn't belong, right? But it was just one of those fun memories. And then, perhaps even sweeter, we as a family wouldn't go about opening presents until we had sung Happy Birthday to Jesus. And so these memories of singing Happy Birthday to Jesus every year as a kid growing up are really kind of special for me. And I wonder if you all have favorite memories of Christmas time. And I asked a few of you to be thinking about that earlier, so, you know, I'm not putting anyone on the spot. I'm not putting you on the spot, but if you have a favorite memory of Christmas, go ahead and just, you don't have to stand up, just shout it out as loud as you can for the rest of us to hear. Anybody have a favorite Christmas memory? Cutting down the Christmas tree in a state forest, right? We've all seen that movie, right? Strapping it to the top of the car and driving it home. Great, right? Did you guys have a contest to see who could find the tree? Like that would be the family tree? Right, yeah, that is the thing, right? How many of you, others of you, have a favorite Christmas memory?
New Tonka truck.
New Tonka truck, so a favorite gift, right? All right, very good. I saw a hand over here. Yes. Oh. So for those of you that didn't hear, every year Santa always managed to deliver a letter that would be on the tree written to you. And now Santa now delivers a letter every year for your child. What a cool memory and tradition. What else? Woo! One time only or every year after year? All right. Awesome. Very cool. Who else? A favorite Christmas memory?
Every morning, my sisters and I would have to sit in order on the steps waiting for my parents before they woke up. And then, particularly, I remember my sister waking me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was the one who was actually staying here. I was like, no, is that okay?
All right. Yeah, we had an 8 o'clock start time at our house growing up. but it frequently we'd move back to like 7 and sometimes 6, and one time it was 3 o'clock, and we actually didn't get started at that time. We got sent back to our rooms for that one. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Wow. That's awesome. Anyone else? All these stories have this thing in common, right? It's being around family. And that's not by coincidence. This is the message of the gospel. This is the message of Christmas. Not just being with earthly family, but being a part of the big family that God has made and is making here. And all of those memories that we associate with this time, and I'll be the first to confess, not every Christmas was happy, right? There are some memories that crash in there and kind of make some of those other memories even sweeter, if you know what I'm saying, when we can hold on to them, when we can remember them. But they also make them more real, to me anyway, and more powerful, that there can be that light in the midst of some of the yuck that happens around this time of year. These memories are important, but they're of the past. And I get it, because we pull out the same Christmas ornaments every year, and we sing the same Christmas songs every year. Even a Christmas Eve candlelight service is one of these traditions that we engage in, and they're important for us, and they connect us to our past and connect us to this story. But there's more to Christmas than just the past. So for the rest of our time here tonight, we're going to kind of keep walking forward as we explore this Christmas story. Christmas isn't just about the past. It's about here, it's about now, and it's about the future. The scriptures that you heard earlier are from the second chapter of Luke, and I'm going to continue where they left off in the story, beginning with verse 8. There were sheep herders camping in the neighborhood. They had set night watches over their sheep, and suddenly God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them, and they were terrified. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is what you're to look for: a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger." And if we're going to take this journey together and connect ourselves to this Christmas story, I need you to just use your imagination for a second. The shepherds are in their fields looking over the sheep, and all of a sudden it says the angel of God appears, stands among them, and God's glory blazed all around them. And then this very natural, this very, I think, predictable thing happens. They're terrified. This is a big moment in the Christmas story. The angel of God appears among them. He's standing there or sitting around the fire or something like that. He's in amongst them all of the sudden. But they can tell it's not just an ordinary guy. It's not just an ordinary angel, maybe. I don't know. Because his glory is blazing. God's presence is there in their midst. And I think the only proper response is terror at that moment. What is going? Can you turn the glory down just a little bit, God? It's freaking us out some. So the angel says, what any of us would say to a group of people that appear frightened in our appearance. I have experience with that. He says, don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody. And somehow that begins to change things, right? Like almost like the suddenness and the greatness of his appearance is only matched by the message that he's come to give. He's come big, right? To give a big message worldwide, this event that's meant to bless everyone. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. And here's how you're going to know it. You're going to look for a baby wrapped up in blankets and laying in a manger. Now, here's a cool part of this story that we often kind of blow by, and we heard a little hint of it in one of the prior readings. Does anybody remember what town that they traveled to? What's the setting of this story? Oh, little town of Bethlehem. This is something we don't connect to very often, but it's a really cool part of the story. The town, the name, Bethlehem, literally means the house of bread. It means the house of bread. Everyone's blown away now, right? Yeah, ooh, the house of bread. That's really cool. The house of bread. Well, it should begin to make you feel tingly when you think about the times when Jesus describes himself as the bread of life. When he says, I and those who connect to me, I bring life, I give life, I sustain life. I'm the staple that undergirds everything. I am the bread of life, Jesus says, born in the house of bread. Pretty powerful. And that's not just in the past, right? Because we didn't just born, you're alive, pushed off from shore, and here we go. But this everyday sense, and these echoes of the stories of the Old Testament when God was leading his people through the wilderness, and every day they had this kind of bread-like substance that nurtured their bodies, that connected them to the God of provision. This is who Jesus says that he is. This is the town that he's born in. And we know also from the text that I just read, it's the town of David. And we associate that with King David, and we associate that with the prophecies. What the prophet said all those years ago, that this Messiah, this rescuer, would come in the line of David. So in the town of David, named the House of Bread, the bread of life is born in fulfillment of the prophecy that one day, while the world is still dark, one day when you maybe didn't expect it to happen, a light shines in the darkness. It should also remind us of the stories of Jesus and his friends at the Last Supper. When there's a part of that story where he takes bread and he breaks it and he gives thanks for it and he presents it to them and he says, "This is my body broken for you," right? This thing that we hear if we're around church a little bit and experience a communion service. Jesus once again says, I am bread. I am bread. And if you will be a part of this, if you will break bread with me and I with you, if you will recognize the sacrifice that I am about to make, then we belong together. This family that I'm making, you can be in it too. The bread of life, the bread of sacrifice, born in the house of bread, in the line of David, as the prophecies said. Not just for then, but also for now. Okay, so as if this angel standing there in the midst of their camp with his glory all lit up, whatever that means, as if that's not big enough, as if that's not enough, this text continues and tells us that at once the angel was joined by a huge choir right? He's there, and all of a sudden, poof, the choir. The choir joins in, and the choir is singing God's praises. Glory to God in the heavenly heights. Glory to God in the highest. And peace, peace to all men and women on earth who please him, this version of the scriptures say. And as I mentioned earlier, as we were talking about this tradition of the Advent wreath and our journey, our 4 weeks of preparing to celebrate this night, this moment, peace is one of those themes. Again, not just the absence of warfare between nations, between neighbors, between husband and wife, between siblings, not just the absence of open conflict, but something much, much more important, something much, much bigger. This idea of wholeness, this idea of completeness. The angel choir is proclaiming wholeness over the entire human race. Wholeness to men and women. Wholeness to them. Contentment on the inside to them. Restoration of the parts that aren't whole to them. That's where the miracle happens. That's why it's so important, not just in the past, but for today and for tomorrow. This idea of wholeness is a putting things back to the way in which they were meant to be in the first place. Back to the way things were before the darkness of sin sort of overwhelmed us and began to break us down. And of all the gifts that you may receive this year, of all the gifts that you've received for all the years that you have celebrated Christmas, that gift of wholeness, it's got to be the best one. It's got to be the best one you've ever received. And for all of us that continue to have this gnaw, right, on our inside, the gnawing of life on our insides, for all of us that experience that, this idea of being whole, of being restored, of being as we should be, well, that's a longing. That's a longing. So hear these words again. At once, the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises, glory to God in the heavenly heights, and peace to all men and women on earth who please him. Peace. Peace to you. Wholeness to you. Wholeness for you and for me. This is what the choir is singing. And as the angel choir withdraws into heaven, the scripture continues, the sheep herders begin to talk it over, right? Well, let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see it for ourselves. Let's go see it for ourselves. Let's go see what God has revealed to us. And they left and they were running. They were running. Not only were they lined up on the steps in birth order, getting ready for, you know, for the time when it's okay to go down and see the tree, they were running to experience this promise of God. And they found Mary and Joseph, and the baby was lying in the manger, and seeing was believing. And they told everyone that they met what the angels had said about this child. And all who heard them were impressed. This is the truth that we celebrate at Christmas time. This is the gift that we receive, that God himself would come and be with us, this Emmanuel that the prophet foretold, God with us, that he would come and be present amongst us, and he would come and he would bring life, and he would come and he would nurture life, and he would come and he would bring wholeness, and he would bring peace, and it would be life like we've never lived. It would be abundant and it would be whole. This is the gift of Christmas. We would be who he created us to be, our lives restored, our relationships reconciled and restored. His name is Jesus. Which if we follow down from the culture of his family, in the original language, that means God saves. God rescues. And he rescues by becoming the gift himself. And he rescues by coming and living amongst us and showing us how to live, not just in the past, but for today. The miracle and the gift of Christmas isn't all contained in that 47-year-old leaded crystal ornament that hangs on your tree, and everybody's got one. It's a miracle, it's lasted. And it's a gorgeous, beautiful representation of the depth of our longing to belong and to be whole. But it isn't. That's not where it stops. He is called Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Wholeness, the Prince of Peace. He's the mighty God. When he shows up, you got to put the hands up, right? You got to put the shades on because his glory is so powerful. And he chooses to come here, and he chooses to share that with us, with you and me. I want to be a part of that scene. And I want you and I to practice being a part of that scene together tonight as we sing yet another familiar carol. And I'm going to ask my friends to lead us in singing yet one more song.